catty-cornered across from you was a house known as the Hendrix House.
Well, the Hendrix lived there, but Hendrix lived there, two different families of Hendrix, and then there was a family of, anyway, he was policeman there at Clemson a good long time, and they, she was a nurse and he was a policeman, and they had three or four children, and I can't recall their names. They also lived in the house at one time. And then there was a family of McCartys who lived there at one time.
One of the things that amazes me as I look back and hear from you and others about Calhoun history is that there were any number of families who seemed to have been there a relatively short while and then moved on somewhere else.
Yeah, that's right.
What about in the area back behind you? Was that already laid out and called Cochran Road when you moved there?
No, it wasn't. There was nothing was, we were not known as Calhoun, and that was not known as Cochran. We were just, we were just on an unnamed street. And around the first house that was built was the Henry House. And I remember that was built in 1922. And then Mr. Clint Taylor's daughter, I've even forgotten her married name, built a house on up there, and then Shorty and Elma Hendrix built a house, and those were all built after we moved there.
You've mentioned the Henry family several times. Talk about them, if you will.
Well, that was Mr. Reverend. He was a preacher.
What denomination?
Methodist.
But not at Clemson?
Not at Clemson. He was, they moved there from Jefferson, Georgia. And they first lived down in the Mary Boggs house. And then they built this house behind this outhouse that I told you that my daddy drew up the plans for. And there was Reverend and Miss Henry, and they had a son named Garnet and Francis. They had a number of children. I think maybe they had about 11 children. But anyway, Frances was in school. She moved there. They moved there a year after we moved, and Frances was in school with us. And Garnet never, I don't know, maybe he'd graduated from high school before they moved from Jefferson, Georgia, there. And Mr. Henry did odd jobs for people. He did carpentry work and just many, many different things. And would help out praying in the church, and they were fine people. And I remember that Miss Henry had perfectly beautiful antique furniture. And Ms. Daniel, Dr. Daniel's wife, bought, I would say, 3/4 of that lovely antique furniture that Miss Henry had. They had, and then when Frances graduated from high school, she went to Athens, Georgia, and went to school at a Georgia Normal Teachers College, I believe that's what it was called. Now, she was one who left the class of 23 and went down there to school. Helen Lawrence went in training, and one girl got married, and I don't know where the what happened to the other girl who had not been in our class very long. And then the four boys went to Clemson.
Besides the Henrys, who all else lived back behind you?
Well, I guess the Henrys and I can't remember Clint Taylor's daughter's name, but they were the only ones. And then quite a distance up is where the Cochran, Miss Bell Cochran and Mr. Cochran lived, that were Sue's and Edith's and what they call him, Dub Cochran or Bud Cochran, I've forgotten what, a young man who was crippled, lived up there. And those were the only houses that I time that I recall were back there. Now then, you know, it's covered in houses back there.
So in many ways, Calhoun had the atmosphere of almost of a village.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, you mentioned pretty far away from you in the opposite direction down toward the river, the Doyles. Tell me about them. What did they
well,
do?
Well, Colonel and Ms. Doyle, and I don't recall that they had any children, but I remember when I first went there, the teachers at the Calhoun Clemson School boarded with the Doyles. And I remember that when my mother would invite them to come by on their way home from school, and she would always serve them with something, and she enjoyed being with the teachers. I can remember that they used to be crazy about baked sweet potatoes, and I remember Mama used to, you know, serve them that and serve them, you know, different things to eat. I remember that there was a Miss Johnson I don't think Miss Kitty Adams, I believe she roomed with the Marsons there at Clemson. But there were several of the teachers, three or four of them, and my mother had taught school, and so she always enjoyed, you know, being with them, and we thought it was real nice that the teachers, you know, the children, we thought it was real nice that the teachers came by to visit.
Was Colonel an honorary title, or was there any particular reason why Doyle?
I think it was honorary, yeah.
What type of people were he and his wife?
Well,
what
I
did
thought
they
were very,
like?
Very high type, uh-huh, yeah.
What did they look like?
Oh, listen, he was the agent there at Clemson before Tom White was there. Now then, it's coming back to me, that's right.
Did he retire and then why?
He retired, yeah, and I don't know whether he lived very long or not, but I remember he was on the school board, and I can remember at our, and this is when we graduated in 1924, I remember that Colonel and Ms. Doyle had a dinner for the graduating class, and I remember that the Presbyterian minister was there, who later went down to be president of PC at Clinton.
Who else do you remember living between the Doyles and
the Stewarts? There was a Dillard family, Frank Dillard and his wife and daughter. I don't remember what her name was. I don't remember Mr. Frank Dillard's wife's name, but he was a brother of Bayless Dillard, who was our next door neighbor, and Frank Dillard had charge of the college laundry. And then there was a family of Crawfords. Ann Crawford and what was his name? You all
Leon.
Know? Leon, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I believe somewhere down that way there were also some Finleys.
Yeah, that's right. There were some Finleys. I remember. That's right.
And the Chapmans.
And the Chapmans, yeah, that's right.
Two families who seem to have moved to town a little bit later than some of these others were the Perrys and the Sheriffs.
Remember? I remember when the Sheriffs moved, but I can't recall when the Perrys moved.
What did he do?
What the
Perry?
I don't have any idea what he did, and I don't remember what the Sheriffs did.
Did either of them have children?
Yeah, oh, the Perrys had a house full. Yeah.
So you would have known them.
Oh yeah, I knew them. They grew up. Of course, they were much younger than I am, and used to be our paper boys.
And the Sheriffs?
I remember Mr. and Ms. Sheriff, but I can't recall children or anything.
Do you have a sense of when either the Perrys or the Sheriffs moved to Calhoun?
No, I do not. No.
What about the Sheriff's house? It's a very interesting one today.
Well, I think the Sheriffs finally bought the Hal Boggs house out there, and that was built in the same manner that our house was. It was one that Aaron Boggs, I'm sure, either had built or furnished the money, you know, to have it built. And, of course, a lot of the beautiful things in the Hal Boggs house were things that Miss Essie Boggs, that's Miss Prince's daughter, I'm sure that a lot of it likely came from the Calhoun Mansion. And I imagine a good bit of it is back in the Calhoun Mansion now.
Anybody else you particularly remember from the town?
I can't.
It sounds like in many ways, with as small a town as this was, with the number of people and the size of it, that everybody must have known everybody
else.
Oh
yes, everybody knew everybody else, that's for sure, yeah.
And one can hardly imagine that everybody didn't know pretty much everybody else's business either.
Well, I would think so, that's right, that's right.
Do you think the town was a lively place for gossip?
Oh, you know, without asking me, Jimmy, that it was full of gossip.
Well, it seems like it wouldn't have taken too
long. Full of gossip, yeah.
To have known everybody else's business,
that's
it wasn't
right.
Too much
there,
more
yeah,
to talk
was,
about.
Yeah, pretty rare tales around there, and I think some of them were true.
One of the people you have mentioned several times, and we haven't really talked about directly, is your mother. First of all, what was her name?
Her name was Nina Dominick. She grew up in Newberry County, South Carolina, and she graduated from college, got a AB degree when she was 18 years old, and she taught school for 2 years, and then she married my father. And she was, I thought at the time she studied art, and I thought she was quite an artist. Let me show you something.
Can we stop for just a second for you to get a painting? Tell me about the painting. It's very attractive.
This is a painting of the home in Newberry County where my mother grew up. She painted it when she graduated from Leesville College. She was 18 years old at the time, and the original is among my brother's family now. And I am having some notepaper made, and I think we looked into it in Newberry County when I was there last month, and we feel that it was, the date of it was circa 1840. We found, though, in the Newberry County records that most houses were not given a date when they were transferred from one person to another, that only the plantation transfer was, you know, the date was known about it. But we had figured this was close to 1840.
And this is a very attractive southern mansion almost.
That's
two
right.
Stories.
That's
huge
right.
Huge columns out front.
That's right.
Two wings on either side of the main part of the house. It sounds as if your mother was quite an educated, talented
woman.
She was.
Did. One thing interesting about my mother, when we lived in Georgia, she did such beautiful handwork that she always entered in the county fair. And after she had won for several years, they wrote her a letter and said, please do not enter, that we want to give other people a chance to win.
Well, handwork seems to have been a type of thing that women very much wanted to excel in at that particular time.
Right.
Did your mother, with this type of background, have occasion to mingle very much with the college community?
Well, she mingled. She had some relatives. They had let me tell you who they were. Hunters, Professor Hunter, and I believe I can't think right now of the other name, but she had a couple of cousins on the campus that came to see us. But my mother lived such a short time after we moved there. We moved in April of 1919, and my mother died in June of 1921, 40 years old.
Yeah. Unfortunately young.
That's right, really was.
Did she have medical attention there?
Well, yes she did. She went to she had surgery in Columbia and had a thrombosis, and that's what took her life.
Were there any doctors in Calhoun or at Clemson?
Dr. Watkins was there, and Dr. Milford, I guess at that time, was the college doctor, but what did we call him? I can't recall, but anyway, he had a nickname here. Dr. Watkins was the family doctor.
Where was his office?
Well, it was over there. I don't know whether Dr. Watkins even had an office, whether he practiced out of his house, because he made house calls all the time. It's possible he had an office, but I can't recall where it was.
What about dentists? Were there any of those in the area?
We went to Seneca for the dentist.
What types of newspapers did you get and have in the house?
Well, I think we got the Greenville News from the time we moved there. I don't recall ever being without a paper.
Was it delivered to the house?
Yes, I think it was.
And did you ever read either the Pickens or the Anderson newspapers or the
No, I don't Wal-Hall. Recall getting the Pickens knew that, but I remember we got a weekly paper called The Grit.
From where?
Well,
it was national.
National paper, yeah, The Grit.
And still published.
Yes, I know. Uh-huh. And I remember we got that. It seems that we got a magazine, and the name of it was the Liberty Magazine.
Did you have any books in the house?
Yes, we had books in the house. And my mother used to read to us, and I can recall her reading Anne of Green Gables to us, and I remember my father reading to us, too.
Apparently all of this left a very vivid impression on you,
well,
since you spent years as a librarian.
That's right.
And I understand when you were fairly young, you wrote a book called Miss Billy.
No, I didn't write one called Miss Billy. I read one called Miss Billy, and that's the reason Billy Vandiver has that name.
And this is your younger sister.
That's right. Youngest sister, yeah.
One of the books that you've mentioned that was based around Calhoun was Ben Robertson's book, Red Hills and Cotton.
Red Hills and Cotton, yeah, I enjoyed that.
Did you think it was fairly reflective of the life
of America? I did. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I thought every word in it like it was true until I talked with the Bardeman daughter, and she told me no, her father was not the, if there was a casket on the train that had fallen, you know, had been thrown out, that it was not her father, that he in Mississippi when he died.
One of the names that you mentioned also while we were talking was that of Aaron Boggs, who had died before you arrived in Calhoun.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
What do you know about him? What did you hear about him?
Oh, I don't know, except he owned all the land anywhere around there, and he had several children, and seemed to, you know, provide them with homes, and evidently he was a very frugal person, and must have been a mighty tight manager.
One of the families I want to ask you about in the Calhoun area, I know you'll know about, is the King family.
The what?
Kings.
I think that they moved there, I believe I was already in college when the Kings moved there. I remember he came there he was a postmaster or worked in the post office at Clemson. And that's about, I know very little about him.
And where did they come from?
I don't know that either.
Which King family was this?
I don't even know his first name. I was never in the home where the Kings lived, and I have no recollection, except I knew there was a King family and that he worked in the post office.
What is your fondest memory of growing up in Calhoun?
Well, really, I don't know as I have a fond memory of growing up in Calhoun, Jimmy.
And is there anything you remember as being exceptionally humorous happening in the town or to somebody while you were growing up?
Well, I think the story that Mr. Rube Boggs used to tell about the time that they bought an automobile, and it was a Dart, and he got in it to drive it, and he lost control of the car, and he didn't know how to put the brakes on, and he was flying around that block, you know, in front of your grandmother's house, down the hill there, back in front of the store, and I don't know how many people had to run out to help Reuben stop the car, and I always thought that, but to hear him tell it, it was just a riot, but I remember I always thought that was real funny.
Let me also ask you to tell some about my grandmother's house, the hotel.
Well, when we first moved there, Jimmy, your grandmother had a hotel, and I remember a lot of the people, I would say the people, working people stayed there, and I remember that when the, what did we call those men who came in after the war was over?
The federal board men.
Federal board men, that's right. They came, and there were quite a few federal board men who roomed there at your grandmother's hotel, and it was kind of off limits to us, because my mother thought, well, you know, we didn't have any business. We didn't have any business going where that was, you know, where there was boarding house. They wouldn't even want us around anyway, you know. And that's about all I can remember. I know it was, you know, always there, and there were people coming and going, and I guess people came. Some people came, might have just come and stayed quite a while. Your mother will know so much more about that than I do.
Shortly after you arrived in Calhoun in 1920, there was
1919. Yes,
well,
19,
you arrived in 1919.
1920.
In 1920, there was a student walkout at the college.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. And they walked over to the station, and they caught, you know, trains going and coming. I've forgotten what caused that walkout, but I can remember it.
So at least there was a good deal of visible.
Yeah.
Sense of that at Calhoun with that kitchen.
Right.
The trains.
I can remember too, sweeping that front porch I was telling you about, and sweeping it to the tune of the band playing over there on Bowman Field, you know, while the cadets were marching. I can remember that.
So you could hear the music drifting
nearly
a mile away.
I could hear the music, and we could always hear the town clock. I mean, the clock in Tillman Hall strike. You know, could in the middle of the night, if you stayed awake long enough, you could hear the, you know, clock strike.
One of the other dominant sounds must have been that of the trains passing.
Well, that's right. That's true. But it was strange leaving, because we were a block away from the railroad track, as most of the houses on our street were. But the trains never did bother us, because we became accustomed to them, you know, and you don't, you really pay no attention to them.
Could you hear the trains from the schoolhouse?
I don't recall. I don't recall that.
Apparently, like many people who live there, you just eventually
well,
became
I,
almost
you
oblivious
block
to
them.
Well,
out. Yeah, that's right.
Well, I thank you very much for your time this afternoon. Well, it's been very helpful, and I think you have some very fascinating things to tell about Calhoun.
Well,
thank you for sharing them.
I think most of it would embarrass me if I had to hear it replayed.